So please pull out your Bibles. If you don't have one, raise your hand and one of our men will give you a Bible. And turn in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Matter of fact, if you have the Word of God, God's Word, the Bible, all over the sanctuary, in digital or printed format, please hold your Bibles up over your head. Amen. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. I'm so glad I didn't see some of those iPads up with Solitaire or something like that going on, or whatever the latest app is. We start a new series today. And the new series is called Emmanuel, God with Us. It's a four-part series, and it will consist of today's message. Part one, the promise. The promise of that God would be coming. Second, that He is pronounced. That's part two. The third week will be a combination of God's provision and Christ proclaimed. And then the final message, week four, part four, will be God present, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come this morning to you saying grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would today, as we start this new series, if we would, please stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God all over the sanctuary. If you would, please stand all over the sanctuary as we read the Word of God. Reading from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And all God's people said, Amen. Please take your seats. You know, as we look at that passage, it is so easy to just accept it and move on. Emmanuel, God with us. But there's so much packed and wrapped up into that simple verse that we have. I want you to make sure that you keep your Bibles out today. We're going to be moving around a bit today, turning back and forth in the story of Christmas. You see, because of the birth of Jesus Christ, that birth affected real people. It affected real lives. That the birth of Christ required enormous faith on Mary and Joseph. It called for a young Jewish girl, a shepherd girl, Mary, to set herself aside to trust God. Amen? If you would, please, turn over to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 36. Pardon me, I said 26, correct? Yeah. Chapter 1, verse 26. If you're there, please say, Amen. Amen. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. You know, we read that and we quickly think, wow, an angel. But what I want you to know is that an angel is what? An angel is a messenger of God. And a messenger of God will always come bearing the Word of God. When the messenger brings his message, it will not depart in the slightest from the Word of God. I've had so many people say, Pastor Larry, I've been sent by the Lord with a word for you. I said, well, the Lord speaks to me directly, sometimes through my wife. But I don't see your shining glory or the Shekinah glory like you just came from heaven. God bless you, but I believe the Lord will speak to the pastor. Amen? Amen. You see, that's why I ask each and every week that each one of us keeps our Bibles open in our lap. It's so important. The same Holy Spirit that speaks to your pastor, speaks to your associate pastors, speaks to your deacons and your leadership, that same Holy Spirit speaks to every person here. And so we want you to have your Bibles open, the Word of God open, so that you know that when we speak, thus saith the Lord. Continuing on, was sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Let me just share this with you quickly. There are those out there that think that there was something special about Mary. Here's what was special about the Virgin Mary. She was chosen by God. for a task. But ladies, I want you to know that you have been chosen by God for the task that you live, the things that you do, to be a helpmate to your husband, to be an encouragement to your church, to hang out with the children in the children's ministry for 14 years. Miss Latima, that's a blessing. Miss Latima's sitting in here today and enjoying it here. Amen? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, you think? And considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall call his name, what? Jesus. The Jewish word for that is Yeshua, which means salvation. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I love that. I just love that. You know, sometimes folks say we're not to question God. But I see God's people in His Word questioning Him all the time. It's okay to question God when you're asking for clarification. And that's what Mary is doing here. And the angel answered, this is Gabriel answered, and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, Mary was called of God to interrupt her life. But Joseph was also called. And the Bible says that he was a just. In other words, he was just. He was right with God. He was a just Jewish man that not only to trust God, but he was called to trust that God would be at work in his life through his betrothed wife. Men, the Lord will work in your life through your wife. I know that hits hard sometimes, but the Lord's not going to call you into something that your wife is not a willing participant. If your wife is and you have prayed about something and your wife is uneasy, you need to listen to your wife. But if you feel strongly that the Lord has called you, then you need to come to an agreement as to how we are to proceed. The household must be unified. Amen? That is one of the things that was the strongest in my life, was that when I was called to be a preacher, I knew that this was going to be a shocking revelation to my wife. I knew she was going to go, nah. I know you. But isn't it amazing what God can do through the prayer of a righteous woman? Hallelujah. You know, look, while we're here talking about Joseph, turn over to Matthew chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read 7 verses here, 18 through 25. If you're there in a paper Bible in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, please say, amen. Amen. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This is the story of Joseph being informed. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Don't just skip over that when you read that, and how that would have gone over in her community. Then Joseph, her husband, being a what? A just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, don't embarrass her, but I simply cannot do this. This child came from somewhere. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, there we are, back to Isaiah, amen. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated is God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name obediently Jesus. And all of God's people said, Amen. You see, this is a remarkable story. This is a remarkable passage here. You see, friends, it's easy to think for Mary and Joseph, well, I mean, those were angels that were sent to them. After all, you know, it was an angel that came, and you just need to trust that these angels brought the Word of God to them. Well, not so fast. Let me ask you something here, ladies and men, today. What would you have done? Ladies, gentlemen, husbands, what would you have done if your betrothed wife was found this way? What would you have done? How would you have reacted? Ladies, would you have trusted God like Mary did? It's easy to say yes, but ruminate in your heart. Really, would you have trusted God's messenger, the angel? Men, would you trust God's angel? Would you trust what Mary said? Would you really trust your betrothed that she had become impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God? And more than that, listen to me, Mary and Joseph had lives. They were what? They were betrothed. Amen? That means the wedding is coming. Ladies, everything that means. Gentlemen, here's what I need you to know. For those of you that are already married, you know what I'm about to say. For those of you that are going to be married, I want you to understand what I'm about to say. On the day of your wedding, it has nothing or almost nothing to do with you. You're just another statue standing there. You know, they got a nice bouquet of flowers down all over the place, and gentlemen, they're going to dress you up, stick a flower in your lapel, tell you where to stand, what to say, and when to leave. Amen? But listen to me. I give this advice to everyone, all the weddings that I've done. Make sure you take plenty of pictures of your wedding day, because you will never look that good again the rest of your life. For all of you guys that are thin and look good, this is what's coming right here. This is what's on the way. But anyway, they had busy lives. They were betrothed. And I'm sure they're getting ready for the upcoming wedding, the plans to make. But let's talk about us. Let's talk about us today. Amen? For us, this month, this time period, is probably the busiest part of the year. Could we agree to that? Amen? This is a busy time. All kinds of things going on. So let's get real for a moment, shall we? Let's get real for just a moment. And we all have so much going on in our lives. And I'm sure every one of us has read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." You may say, so what? Why, Pastor, did you bring that passage in here when you're talking about the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the busyness of our lives? You see, that says that the earth was without form. The earth was void, like our hearts before Jesus Christ, like our lives without the Holy Spirit of God in it. You see, it's like our hearts and lives can feel when we allow ourselves, even as Christians, to busy up our lives. You see, there's something that I encourage all of my leadership. Don't get so caught up in the busyness of doing what you're doing that you forget who you're doing it for. You see, it's so easy to get caught up on a Sunday morning and doing certain things in here and get caught up with the idea that this is the focus. You see, when GB does the sound and the audio, I don't want him to get caught up in the mechanics of doing the audio. I want him to get caught up in the idea that he's doing it for Jesus Christ. Amen. When the praise team sings and the band plays, I don't want them caught up in the instrumentation of what's going on. I want them to do it for the glory of God. And if you cannot, then you need to step down. you need to come to me and say, Pastor Larry, I've allowed the busyness of what goes on here to infringe upon my worship and focus on Christ. And I need to sit in the sanctuary for a little while to get right with God. I would honor that. Amen? I need to take just a while to sit here and not be part of the busyness, but be part of the worship. Friends, that is why when you see me out over here on Sunday morning, these young men sit there, those young men sit over there, and they'll tell you I get downright embarrassing sometimes when I'm singing. Because I praise God. I'm excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're probably wondering when we're going to get to these 4 points we got. We're going to be there shortly, guys. But listen, may I ask, have you become too busy? Too busy to read our Bibles every day instead of it happening on Sunday morning when we come here. Too busy to be involved in our church except for 90 minutes each Sunday morning. Really, see, when we become that busy, what is it that we are truly saying to God? And this isn't just for Living Hope Church. This is for all of us. This is for those of you watching on the internet. When we busy up our lives so that we are too busy to be a part of what's going on in God's church, called Living Hope Baptist Church, except for the 90 minutes on Sunday morning, what is it that we are truly saying to God? What is it that we are truly saying to the Lord Jesus? What is it that we are truly saying to the Holy Spirit? Are we really so busy that we can say to the sovereign Lord God of all creation, our provider, His Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, to the Holy Spirit of God, are we really so busy that we can say, Jesus, I am too busy for You? You see, I have a mandate to the leadership of this church. And it's at the very day, the very moment, the very second that Pastor Larry is too busy to go into the prayer room to pray before the service with our prayer team, it's time to remove that man from pastor. No one preaches in this church that has not been in the prayer room. Amen? No one. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah to the glory of God. Friends, I'm going to ask you to do something in a moment that is a little unusual, a little off the wall. Well, you remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? It says the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. What was He doing there? What was the Holy Spirit doing? You know, the earth was, there was darkness, there was a void, there was the waters, the unformed creation. The Holy Spirit is hovering. What is He waiting for? He's waiting for God to say, let there be light. And then the power, the Shekinah glory of God burst forth as God said, light in me be. You see, in spite of their plans, Mary and Joseph set things aside. They set things aside so that they could trust God's promise. Amen? God's promise, Emmanuel, God with us. Think about that for a moment. Matter of fact, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's say it together, shall we? On three. One, two, three. Emmanuel, God with us. That's good. I think you can do better, Living Hope. One more time. Emmanuel, God with us. Listen, folks. Mary and Joseph trusted the promises of God. As Hebrews, they would have recognized immediately from the angel that phrase, Emmanuel. Could it be, they must have asked themselves, that we are the recipients of God's promise? Living Hope Baptist Church, could it be that we are the recipients of God's promise of the gospel going forth unto the ends of the earth, and we're going to start right here in Coral Springs, Florida? Let me ask you this. How many people here in this room have been Christians for 30 years or more? Hallelujah to the glory of God. You could have lived 3 lifetimes, you're not there yet. How is it that the disciples changed the face of the world? They changed the entire Roman Empire in 30 years. They trusted the word of the Lord. And friends, I'm looking for this new year for Living Hope Church, where we start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to friends and neighbors. That we do it in peace and love with grace and mercy. Amen? Listen, guys. What was so special about the promise here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? You see, what we read is a promise like none other. Why? Because as we look at that passage, back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, the Lord Himself..." Which brings us to our first point, and we'll move quickly through our points today as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. You see, it's special because it came from God Himself. You see, our first point today is that this promise is divine. This promise is divine. It's a divine promise. Amen? Why is that so important? Why is it so important that it's a divine promise? Well, you know what? We're going to show a passage up on the screen, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. It happens to be my granddaughter's favorite verse in the Bible. Listen, guys, moms, dads, you know what a little kid will do if you don't keep your promise. You promise, Mom. You promise, Dad. But what does Numbers 23:19 say? It says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" You see, when you get the promises of God, you can take it to the bank. What God has promised in His Word, we have a promise for our life. Amen? In other words, if God said a mosquito can pull a plow, hook him up. If God says Larry Brister can be a preacher, give him a pulpit. Amen. Listen, guys, what God has said God can do, God can do. Amen? Amen? And He's not a man that He should lie. You don't have to worry about that. You can look at the promises of God and take that to the bank. God does not lie. When God promises something, He will not change His mind. He will not. Like men and women. God's faithfulness is a guarantee. When God speaks, God acts. When God promises, God delivers. When God promises, God fulfills. Look at it this way. When God speaks, He acts and does everything exactly in accordance with what He says in His Word. If you are told something by a preacher, a pastor, another Christian, and it doesn't sound right, go to the Word of God. Where did you find that in the Word of God? When somebody says, "I saw this, I did that." Really? Is that possible in the Word of God? Amen? Pastor Larry's getting a little serious here this morning. But look at it this way. When He does things in accordance of His Word, there's more. On our screen, you're going to see Psalm chapter 18, verse 30. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30. Oh, look at this. "As for God, His way is what? Perfect. The Word of the Lord is proven. He is a what?
Shield.
He is a shield to all who trust in Him." Anybody here use a shield right now? I believe we could all use a shield. Amen? You see, listen, friends. His way is perfect. Every way, every one of God's actions are resplendent, full to overflowing with justice, truth, mercy, grace, and holiness. Our God is holy.
Amen.
And to approach Him, you must approach Him in a holy manner. Every action and word of God is complete within itself. It is completely self-sustaining. And all of His ways put together are matchless in harmony and goodness. You see, when I read the Word of God, when I receive a divine promise, here is all I know. When I receive a divine promise of God, from His perfect Word, here's all I know. I will be perfectly blessed. Perfectly blessed. Now, I know it's hard to see that sometimes, amen? Young people in school, I know sometimes it doesn't seem always seem like God's blessings are there for you every day. High school students, college students, some days where you guys are, God bless you for being godly young people. Some days wherever you are in the world, it can be difficult to see the blessings of God and what is going on in your life. Moms and dads, sometimes it can be difficult to see that child is a blessing from God. Amen? But they are. We are perfectly blessed through the Word of God. Why? Because what? All of His ways are perfect. His doctrines of His Word are glorious. The precepts of His Word are pure. The promises of His Word are faithful. Because God Himself is faithful. How often is He faithful? God is good.
All the time.
You see, God is 100% faithful. You know, I'm a pretty good guy. I think I'm a loving husband. I adore my wife. I absolutely do. But if I were to go to my wife and say, honey, I love you with all my heart, and I'm going to be faithful to you 99.9% of the time. How would that go over, ladies? Not well. Amen. So listen, friends. I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm so glad I brought my own. Listen, we are perfectly blessed, and every word, every jot and tittle, the whole revelation of the Word of God is superlatively full of grace and truth. And His Word has never failed. Never failed. Never failed. I want you to get that. Never failed. His Word is perfect because He is perfect. And He's a shield to all who trusted Him. Listen, guys, if I have God as my shield, in other words, if God is for me, who can stand against me? Nobody. Nobody can stand against me. And when that happens, when I know that the Lord is my shield, when I know that nothing can stand against me, then I can sing like David did. I'm not going to sing right now. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His great name together." And all God's people said,
amen.
Give Him some praise in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Friends, that's what it meant to Joseph and Mary. And that's what it means to me. That my promises from the Word of God are divine promises. That's incredible to have God's divine promise. But there's more. We now come to our second point today. We now see that this promise is declared. Back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. How is it declared in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? It says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign." The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Now, I don't know about you, but I like a sign. Wouldn't it good when the Lord just says, "Hey, this is how you're going to do it, and here's your sign." Amen? It's not like there's a comedian out there I forget the guy's name, but when people do something that's not quite that bright, he goes, "Here's your sign." Amen? So, getting back to the Word of God, listen guys, listen to me. This is so very important. I love it when I get a sign from the Lord. Like what? Well, I'm so glad you asked. What sign from God do we see right here in Living Hope Baptist Church? What sign from God do we see every single week? Probably almost every day. But we see it all the time in South Florida, especially after a summer rain. What do we see? Rainbows. Right up there in the sky. Amen? God's promise. Right up there in the sky. Stretching from horizon to horizon. Let me tell you something. I believe that the Bible is true from the first letter to the last letter. I believe God destroyed the world by the flood in Noah's day. I believe that God's wrath is terrible. It's a terrible thing to fall into the wrath of the Lord. But God promised He would never do that again.
Amen.
And He gave us the rainbow as a sign. What a beautiful sign, amen? You know, that's a promise from God. Have you ever thought of that way? Well, look at how pretty the rainbow is. Look at the majestic promise of Almighty God. You see, when I see that rainbow, I know there's one less thing for me to worry about. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. And it declares the glory of His promises. Amen? Okay, so we've learned so far that we have the Word of God Himself, a divine promise, that He will give a sign, which is the promise declared. Now, let's look at our third point, that the promise is also defined. The promise is defined. What is the promise? Continuing on in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Behold." Now, what does "behold" mean? It means this is going to be public. This is going to be something to see. This is when God is just placing it right out there. "Behold a virgin." Okay, Lord, you're going to work through a Lord. Okay. Lord, if you want to work through the Lord, I'm all for that. Guys, When somebody comes to you and they're obviously on fire for Jesus, do you really believe that the Lord can work through them? See, we have to grab these young people that are on fire for Christ and believe that God can use them. Amen? He says, behold, a virgin. Okay, Lord, you're going to work through a girl. Shall conceive and bear a son. Wait, what? You see, when you read through that, it's easy just to jump over that. We know the story. But can you imagine at that point? Can you imagine being told that? You know, we all think this is probably the silliest thing you've ever heard. A virgin cannot conceive. Not and remain a virgin, amen? But listen, I want you to understand that Mary conceived the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit and remained a virgin. If you look back in Matthew, remember it says of what was going on there. You know, see, Mary received word from God through His angel that she would become pregnant. Now, Mary had no doubt about how this would happen. Joseph had the proof right there. It says that she was found to be with child and still a virgin. Amen? So what did Matthew 1:18 say? It says, after Joseph and Mary were betrothed and before they came together. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That means everything you think it means. Let's not skip over that. Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Exactly as promised in Scripture. You see, friends, she remained a virgin until after they were married. How do we know that changed? Because Joseph and Mary then had other children. They had four boys. You can read about this, mark this in your margins. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. The James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, also known as Jude. James and Jude wrote books in the Bible. And it also says his sisters, which means what? More than one. So there was at least seven children in this family, all with the same mother, but some of them had a stepfather. Amen? Jesus had the one true Father. Now we come to our final point today. We have seen all of these things, the promise defined. We now come to the promise is delivered. How do we wrap this all up? Back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Friends, when you go through difficulties, look up here, church. When you go through difficulties, Emmanuel, God with us. When you feel like no one cares, Emmanuel, God with us. Listen to me. God's promise in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 was written 3,000 years ago in Israel. But God's promise was delivered 2,000 years ago in Israel through the young Virgin Mary. Why? For what purpose? John chapter 3 verse 16 reads how. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about this for a minute. Let's break that down. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us. That whosoever believeth in Him, Emmanuel, God with us, should not perish but have everlasting life, us with God. That's the whole purpose. That's the entire reason for God coming to earth. The ultimate goal of God coming to us was to get us to Him in heaven. You see, God is not an angry God that's looking to slap you down and keep you out of His heaven. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. And then when you look at the cross of Calvary, you want to know how much God loves you? You look at the cross of Calvary and you see the outstretched arms of Jesus Christ and God says, I love you, I love you, I love you this much. When I look at the cross of Calvary and the outstretched arms of Christ, the wounds in His hands, the wounds in His feet, the wounds in His side, the crown of thorns upon His head, the beating that He took for me, for my sins, Emmanuel, God with us. I have His promise. What's that promise? That God wants me in His heaven. You see, to take full advantage of that promise, you need only to receive His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your life. Why Jesus? Well, church, we say this all the time. If you're watching on the internet, I'm sure you've heard us before. Because Jesus said so. In John chapter 14, verse 6, what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I've looked all over my Bible, and that word no one means no one. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. As our praise team comes, we're going to sing in just a moment. And as we sing, and as we prepare our hearts, you'll see down in front here that we have the Lord's Supper here this morning. And we want to make sure that we come before the Lord's Supper in a correct manner. Amen? That we come there with our hearts right before the Father. So as we're singing, we want those of you that have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time to come forward. If you just want to pray with the pastor, or you have something for me to pray with you about, I want you to come forward. But we also want you to take those things that you have buried deep in your heart. Confess your sins to the Lord. Say, Father, I haven't spoken to you this week, but I'm so sorry for the things I've done, my unconfessed sin. I want to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. Please forgive me, Father. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Come to pray.